I have awoken.
Oh, all you are welcome.
Kristen Michael.
Oh, Kristen Michael, the light bulb is turned on.
There it is, the awakening has happened.
The awakening. He's finally here to bless us.
Not to start the show on a tangent, but I was looking up the awakening on Google. Had nothing to do with Kristen Michael, but I just decided to Google the awakening. And a 2011 film came up starring one Rebecca Hall and Isaac Hempstead Wright, who plays Bran in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay.
So basically the link I'm trying to make here is that Kristen Michael is a green seer. That's how he finds the holes in the offensive line. He knows where they are beforehand.
Seems legit.
Yeah, I buy it. So, yeah, top five pick?
Yep, top five. Top five overall. Top one overall, probably. Start off your draft with C-Mike. Log out. Auto-draft the rest. You'll be fine. You got C-Mike.
Yeah, championship team. Just order them rings.
Order them drinks, though.
All right, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Bench Stash. We have a different show for you today. It's a packed show. We are going to look at all of the NFL divisions. It's kind of an condensed divisional preview episode, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we will observe each team, pick our fantasy MVP for the team, and then pick our fantasy MVP for the division. And then we'll end with the fantasy MVP for the entire league.
What?
How does that sound, Leo?
That sounds terrifying. I'm unprepared. Let's do it.
Are you ready?
I'm not ready, but we should do it anyway.
We should do it. All right. Rapid fire. Just to catch you guys up, we did do a full NFC West divisional preview, which is up on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We'll soon be up on our YouTube channel. So they'll probably, this video and the NFC West video will probably pop up around the same time. But in that video, we really dive into the NFC West. But with mock drafts coming up, or not mock drafts, with real drafts coming up, I'm still in mock draft mode.
Mm.
We figure we'll just run through all the divisions for you guys now so you have the information going into your real draft. So here we are. Let's begin.
Indeedly doodly. Where do you want to start?
Let's start in the AFC East, home of the New England Patriots.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's going to happen. The NFL love child, New England Patriots.
That's where we're starting. All right.
That's where we're starting. So let's look at the Buffalo Bills of Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills of Buffalo, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so break down the fantasy-relevant players on Buffalo for me.
Sure. So, the players that you... Okay, let's relax. the players that you should care about in order of their ADP. I'm not going to commit to doing this with every team, but I'll do it with this one. It was LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins, and after that, probably just Ty God. No one else is really relevant after that. Ty Goat, yes. Ty Goat Taylor. So I guess we'll throw this to you. Who is your fantasy MVP of this team?
Fantasy MVP of the Buffalo Bills. Now, it's a tough decision, actually. We're starting off with the difficult one. So the way I look at it, in terms of value, it has to be Ty God.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Ty God. I mean, you can draft him in the 11th, 12th, sometimes even 13th round.
Yeah.
And I believe he finished 8th overall in points per game for quarterbacks last season.
He did. He had 19.2 fantasy points per game. So he only played 14 games, so that kind of suppresses value a little bit. But over a full 16-game season, that would have made him the 8th best quarterback in the league, which is great value for 12th, 13th, very late.
Yeah, and he's a running quarterback, so you should get added value based on the fact that he will probably score some rushing touchdowns, rack up some rushing yards, which only helps the fact that he is being drafted that late. The other names you mentioned, LeSean McCoy. I like LeSean McCoy a lot this year, especially if you can get him at the end of the second, beginning of the third. That might be a fantasy now, though, because his ADP is slowly climbing with the news that there's basically nobody behind him. I mean, they just straight up released Carlos Williams. So I think by the time you draft, you guys, not us, you, draft. LeSean McCoy will probably be a early to mid second round pick.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a solid contributor to your team, but I think in terms of value, it's Ty God. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely with you on Ty God. The rushing provides like a really high floor, and he's got a little bit of that Russell Wilson elusiveness to keep plays alive. Not quite on his level, but he has a little bit of that. And he has Sammy Watkins, who just kind of makes him much better. So some of his value is tied to can Sammy play a full season, which so far he hasn't. But if you believe that Sammy is going to play most of the season, at least as I do, then you like his quarterback. So I'd say Ty God mostly for his extreme value. But I agree with you on LeSean McCoy that, you know, there's what Reggie Bush is the number two running back there, and he basically doesn't exist.
So
I like LeSean as probably like a top five running back at this point. So he's not really a value anymore as his ADP rises to the end of the second. But I'm still happy to take him there. But based off of value, yeah, it's got to be Tyrod.
It's a renaissance of Shady McCoy. A quick note on Sammy Watkins, though. He finished first overall in points per opportunity last year, ahead of Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham.
Julio.
So he's an interesting value as well. He tends to go in about the third round, though, so I think it has to be Ty God. Let's just wrap it up with that and move on to the next team in the AFC East who actually just played today. So we have a fresh perspective, the Miami Dolphins of Miami.
The Miami Dolphins of Miami, yes, of course.
So who are your fantasy-relevant players in Miami?
Right. I'm not even going to attempt to do this in terms of ADP anymore. I'm already abandoning that. Arian Foster, Devontae Parker, Jay Ajayi. Those are kind of the three popular ones that get drafted. I'd say Kenny Stills has kind of popped up as someone who's now fantasy relevant after his outburst this last preseason game.
His explosion.
After his explosion. And then the guy that I think we're naming our fantasy MVP of the team, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, before we go into Tanny, can I just comment on how you were deadpan with the first two names you listed, and then all of a sudden, as soon as you said Jay, your whole face came alive. So you sure you don't want to change your MVP pick to Jay Ajayi?
I'm growing on his value as like a 8th, 9th, sometimes 10th round pick. I like him there, especially after seeing Foster. And it was kind of frustrating watching that game and seeing Twitter just blow up and loving Foster. Like, he looked exactly the same as he did in the past, and he didn't. He looked slower to me. He did not look quite as elite, but he scored a touchdown, so everyone is excited about it. But the only problem with Ajayi is I didn't particularly love anything he did either. You know, it's not like he is so good that he's just going to kind of carve out his own role. It's kind of contingent to Foster getting hurt, which will likely happen, but I don't. It's hard to say someone's really valuable when you need an injury to make them good.
Yeah, and Jay Ajayi, he always kind of reminded me of Chris Ivory in a way, where he's super violent at the line of scrimmage, and he tends to get dinged up a lot. So if he's not running full steam ahead, then he tends to lose a lot of what makes him valuable.
Yeah.
So, and he's been dinged up in the preseason. He hasn't really had that opportunity to compete with Arian Foster yet. I think he is a value in the 8th, 9th round because Arian Foster has proven time and time again that he cannot stay healthy. Mm-hmm. So Jay Ajayi is definitely someone to keep an eye on the draft. If he keeps on slipping, then you should probably make a play somewhere around the 9th round. But Ryan Tannehill is where we left off before we started to divert towards Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill is an interesting name just because he's free.
Yeah. He's going essentially undrafted. His ADP on CBS and ESPN is like a little bit higher. It's like 13th or 14th round, but he's undrafted or so late that he's free. And I think he's definitely at least a bounce back candidate. I don't think you can blame him for the entire woes of the Miami offense last season. And so
there was a lot going on there last year.
Yeah.
And they have Adam Gase, who's coming in now, should revitalize the offense a little bit. I mean, he does wonders with quarterbacks. Tannehill, the year before, finished 8th out of quarterbacks. Last year, he finished 17th. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like he completely fell off a cliff. He was outside of the QB1 range, but he was still definitely streamable.
Yeah.
I think the problem with Tannehill was that a lot of people drafted him to be their guy. think his ADP last year was somewhere around the 7th to 8th round, maybe 8th to 9th, somewhere in that range.
He got a little hyped up.
Yeah, so he's basically, he was drafted last year the way people are drafting Eli Manning this year. So they expected Tannehill to perform, and he didn't. It wasn't like he was terrible. He just didn't put up those huge fantasy numbers. So I think he is a perfect bounce back candidate, and he's going, like you said, in the 13th or 14th round. So if you want to do a late quarterback draft strategy, then that's somebody you can definitely target.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a few late guys we like. We like Matt Ryan late. We like Matt Stafford late. But those guys sometimes get drafted. Tannehill almost never gets drafted. You can just almost ignore quarterback until your last position player pick, and then he should be there. So it's him, it's just more value than anything else that makes him a potential fantasy MVP.
Yeah. People be hating on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, it's unfair.
It's leave Ryan Tannehill alone.
Leave him alone. He's doing his best.
Let's move on to the New England Patriots, everybody's favorite team, America's team.
America's team, yes. The New England Patriots of New England.
Yeah, of course. Let's just keep it going with that.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting team because Tom Brady suspended for the first four games. Deion Lewis is out for the first 8 to 10 weeks. Realistically, he probably won't play until around week 10 of the regular season.
Yeah.
So fantasy MVP-wise on this team, who are you looking at?
So I think the safe pick is Julian Edelman because of, again, a lot of this is value-based, not always. You'll hear us name guys that are first-round picks. But when there isn't, like, an obvious top-end guy, because we don't think Gronk's worth his ADP. When there isn't an obvious top-end guy, we tend to look more for value. And Edelman's going in the 4th, 5th round, and he was on pace to finish as a top 10 wide receiver last season before he got hurt. And, you know, the touchdown rate was a little unsustainable for him, so that'll regress some. And he does have four games with Garoppolo, who, you know, he's going to steal Brady's job. Sure.
Garop it like it's hot.
Garop it like it's hot. Yes, exactly. So that's a little bit concerning. But Julian Edelman was 8th in points per game last season before he got hurt. And so as long as he can not be awful for four games, which I think Garoppolo will lean on him a little bit because he's a good safety valve. And then he gets Brady back, and he's Brady's favorite target pretty much. So for a 5th round, as someone that has a wide receiver 2 with wide receiver 1 upside, I like that.
Yeah, I like Edelman too. And I would say that he's more valuable in PPR, but in standard leagues as well, he has proven that he's basically the guy. And Brady's going to miss the first 4 games. He'll come back, and they have that symbiotic connection. So I like Edelman there. There's not really a lot to choose from on the Patriots in terms of pure value alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could have probably argued LeGarrette Blount just because I guess he's the first and second down back there, and he's going in like the 9th or 10th round. But it's LeGarrette Blount. I mean, he's just, there's nothing attractive about drafting LeGarrette Blount.
You're drafting him for touchdowns. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't mind him in best ball, like MFL 10s. I kind of get it. But in redraft, it's like, how are you going to know? You can kind of predict the Blount games, but even then, he has games where it's a Blount game and he's still not good. He's not good.
It's really just consistency with any New England running back, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Gronk is an obvious choice, but again, he is 4 games without Brady, and he's going in the 1st round. So,
yeah.
It's not really a value there, especially when the other tight ends are sneaking up right behind him in terms of overall production, and they're going way later in the draft.
Yeah.
So Julian Edelman, for me, a name to watch out for,
one
Tyler Gaffney.
Tyler Gaffney is kind of our, like, lottery ticket sleeper, whatever you want to call him, because he literally goes undrafted. And it's Deion Lewis's hurt. He'll likely be put on the PUP and miss the first 6 games. LeGarrette Blount is a trash bag. You know, he's not good. And Tyler Gaffney, he's kind of had an interesting career. You know, he was productive at Stanford, got drafted by the Panthers, immediately got hurt, and then was traded to the Patriots, who have just held on to him for 2 years. He spent an entire year recovering, got hurt again. They still held on to him, and now he's finally healthy. So it's kind of interesting that they trade for this injured guy and hold him through 2 years of recovery. So it's clear that they like him.
Yeah.
And he definitely profiles as a power back, but a more elusive and quicker power back than LeGarrette Blount. He ran a 4.49 40 at the combine, a top performer in the three cone and the 60-yard shuttle. So he's definitely more athletic than LeGarrette Blount. Flashed some pass catching ability in college. So he probably won't become a three down back, but I think he has the potential to be better than LeGarrette Blount. So he's the name to remember because the Patriots have shown last year with Deion Lewis that they're willing to take these unknown guys and just thrust them into a role right away and see how it goes. So he's someone I wouldn't be afraid to pick up before week one and then just kind of see how it pans out.
Yeah, we've already seen him flash some of that skill in the preseason too. He had a touchdown where he got the edge and basically just turned the burners on.
Yeah.
And made it to the end zone. So he's definitely an interesting name. Let's move on to the New York Football Jets.
Oh, yes, the New York Football Jets of New York. New Jersey, really, wherever the stadium actually is.
Yeah, New Jersey. So the Jets, some names to throw at you. Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, sure.
We are Brandon Marshall. Eric Decker. Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Bilal Powell.
Bilal about that pace. Powell.
And Ryan Fitzy Fitzmagic.
Ryan Fitzmagic, yeah.
Are you choosing?
I think for the MVP, it's a little bit boring, but I think we're leaning Eric Decker. Again, it's more of a value play. Obviously, Brandon Marshall is the better receiver of the two, but Decker is slipping into the fourth and fifth round, and he will say similar things to him that we say about Edelman, that he's like a pretty high floor wide receiver too in that offense, a great red zone threat, very good touchdown rate, The difference between him and Brandon Marshall isn't that significant. In fantasy points per game, the gap is 3 points, which it's a difference, but you know, when you're talking about a second round pick and a fifth round pick, it's, you know, the value is there with Eric Decker.
Yeah, Eric Decker, he finished 0.31 points per opportunity. Brandon Marshall was higher, but it's 0.36, so not a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Decker he's sitting around the same range as guys like DeAndre Hopkins, Martavis Bryant when he played, Jeremy Maclin, A.J. Green is a mm-hmm. little bit higher. A.J. Green is more in the Brandon Marshall range.
Right.
But even guys that he finished ahead of, we have Demaryius Thomas, he finished ahead of. He finished ahead of Calvin Johnson, even though it was a declining Calvin Johnson last season. Mm-hmm. Keenan Allen, he finished ahead of. And this is points per opportunity. So when Keenan Allen played, he finished ahead of him.
Right.
DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans. So this is a guy that's being drafted in the fifth round, the end of the fifth round. Sometimes he slides into the sixth round. So when you're comparing him to Brandon Marshall, we believe that Brandon Marshall is a better receiver, but the value is there for Eric Decker.
Yeah. I would have said Brandon Marshall if you'd asked me this a month ago, because ADP was in the third round then, and I like that, but it's creeped up to like high second round now, so it's...
As soon as he challenged Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as he challenged Antonio, it's his ADP skyrocketed, and apparently he's trim, he's lost some weight, and he looks good. Yeah. That's always a narrative, though, you know? Mm. As soon as an athlete or... impact fantasy player loses weight and comes into camp looking better than ever, then their ADP tends to spike.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always correlate to a better fantasy season.
No.
All right, so that's it for the AFC East. If we had to choose an overall divisional MVP, who are we going to go with?
I think we're going with Tyrod. I always struggle to say his real name because I'm used to calling him Ty God or Ty Goat.
Ty Hot Rod
Taylor. Again, just the value there is amazing for a guy that could finish as maybe a top five quarterback. Maybe that's a little bit of a hot take, but he could finish as like a firm QB1. For like the end of your draft almost.
Yeah, and he's being drafted behind a whole heap of guys. So go on, get Tyrod. Use the late round quarterback drafting strategy. Get Tyrod in the 11th or 12th and be happy with your team. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the AFC West, home of the Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, Oakland Raiders.
Wow. Wow.
And the San Diego Chargers. That wasn't biased or anything.
No, not at all. No idea which team you like the most out of that group.
So the Denver Broncos, interesting this season.
Yeah.
They have 19 quarterbacks vying for the starting role. And they have one, Demaryius Targaryen, who is slipping into the third or fourth round.
Yeah, I think we both agree that it's definitely Demaryius Thomas is the best value on this round. People are getting more hyped on C.J. Anderson, who goes a little bit higher than Demaryius Thomas. But that's too much for me. I don't know if I buy the full bounce back, especially in an offense that has like a jugs machine for a quarterback, basically. And Virgil Green's like a hype sleeper, but he's a sleeper. So I think Demaryius Thomas in the third or fourth round. I think you have some stats on him.
His comparables measure up very well physically to the best in the game. I mean, a lot of people don't realize. Well, I think people do realize, they just don't really like the offense that he's a part of.
Yeah.
But he physically compares to guys like Alshon Jeffrey and Julio Jones, these guys that we think of as these athletic freak wide receivers. He's right there with them. And he's priced at a huge discount this year. We've already talked about where he's going. And that is mainly due to the fact that he had a lackluster season by his account.
Yeah.
If you're comparing him to most other receivers, he still had a good season, right? He was the fourth most targeted wide receiver in the NFL. He still had over 1,300 yards. His touchdown numbers were a little bit low. I think that is what is scaring some people away, and the fact that he doesn't have a consistent quarterback. But look at the quarterback situation last year and tell me that this season will be worse. I have a hard time believing that this season will be worse, even with Mark Sanchez or Paxton Lynch.
Or Touchdown Trevor.
Touchdown Trevor Siemian, yeah. Could be any one of the three, but still, you have to look at Gary Kubiak. He tends to really feed his ex-receiver, and in this case, DT is his ex-receiver. Mm-hmm. We saw that with Andre Johnson. When Andre Johnson was his ex-receiver in Houston.
When we say ex-receiver, we mean ex-gonna give it to you receiver. That's like the full.
Ex-gonna give it to you. Gonna go give it to you. That's basically it. I think we should just end the take on that.
Boom.
So yeah, the fact that he's going late third, early fourth round sometimes, if he drops to the fourth, you take him, no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's guys in the third I might take over him. I mean, there are guys in the third I'd take over him. But he's that guy where if he slips late in the third, he can justify going running back heavy in the first couple rounds, because I think he'll finish as a wide receiver one. I think that's pretty safe, actually.
I think he'll finish as a wide receiver one, too. And, yeah, he's been sliding due to the narrative of the quarterback situation in Denver. So keep an eye on DT when you're drafting.
DT.
DT.
You must not know about DT.
You must. I can't even finish that.
That was a bit of a stretch. All right, let's just move on.
Kansas City.
The Kansas City Chiefs of Missouri.
Yeah, that is correct.
That's actually correct, yeah. Boom.
You didn't Alex know that, Smith. Boom, still got it.
Alex Smith. The players on this team.
Fantasy MVP?
That you care about, not Alex Smith. You got Jamal About That Bass Charles.
All About That Bass.
Jeremy No, nickname Macklin.
Doesn't need one. Return of the Mac.
Travis, Mr. Handsome Kelce. Mr. Reality Show Kelce.
Mr. Handsome.
That's basically it.
Budding
Spencer
superstar,
Ware.
Travis,
yeah.
Kelce.
Budding superstar. Spencer Ware is an interesting like sleeper handcuff, but those are really the guys that you care about. And I think we're leaning Jeremy Macklin.
It has to be Jeremy Macklin, yeah. Right? I mean, he's going in the fifth. I've seen him drop to the sixth, which is absurd. But yeah, he's going typically in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the potential to be a wide receiver one, a solid wide receiver two. I mean, he tends to finish around like the wide receiver 13 to 15 range.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, or last year, I think he was a wide receiver 15 overall. So outside of the wide receiver one category by three spots. But still, if you're getting that value in the fifth round, late fifth round, then you have a solid, depending on how your draft went before that, you have a solid wide receiver two, an amazing wide receiver three. If you're drafting Jeremy Macklin as your wide receiver three, you are set. But I would be perfectly fine with him as a wide receiver two, or if you went robust, he's not even a terrible option to have as your wide receiver one, because he does have that potential. He's basically the only guy outside of Mr. Handsome. Is that our nickname? Are we really going with that?
I don't know.
Mr. Handsome? Are we going to say that with a straight face?
Mr. Handsome. I mean, there's like Albert Wilson and Chris Conley, but these guys are like, you know, Jeremy Macklin's the guy there. I'm looking at the numbers here. He had a strikingly similar season to Brandon Cooks last year. Brandon Cooks had like one more touchdown and maybe like 50 more yards. But Brandon Cooks is going at the beginning of the third round, and Jeremy Maclin is like late fourth, early fifth round. The value's there for a guy that is for sure a wide receiver too, short of like injury or disaster, and has that wide receiver one upside. Yeah, I think it's got to be Maclin.
Yeah, again, Maclin is one of those players that kind of suffers from the quarterback that he has. And it's not like Alex Smith is a bad quarterback. He's just that game manager quarterback that doesn't really throw the ball down the field. He gives the ball to Jamaal Charles. He keeps things in control.
Yeah.
And he wins games. I mean, Kansas City is a solid team, and you typically target players that are on solid teams. And Fat Jerry Maclin is exactly that.
Fat Jer, exactly.
And also, I think there was that stat that a Kansas City wide receiver hadn't scored a touchdown in like a year or something. Yeah. At one point last season, before he scored his first touchdown. Yeah. So everyone was like, well, Kansas City can't sustain a wide receiver one or two, but that's a fallacy. They can. Yeah,
they did it.
Okay, now let's move on to the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, God. Let's calm down, everyone. Everyone relax.
Yeah. So the AFC champion, Oakland Raiders.
Okay. All right. All right, guy.
Yeah. No, so definitely a team on the rise. Let's be real. Yeah, they have a lot of young talent. Mm-hmm. A lot of young offensive talent. Derek
it is
Carr.
I agree.
I'm out. I can't do this.
Done.
I can't work in these conditions. Derek Carr, Latavius Murray, Amari Cooper, Clive Walford. Basically, they've stockpiled draft picks that are producing at an NFL level. Mm-hmm. So, fantasy MVP, based on value, again, I think it has to be Latavius Murray. Do you agree?
I agree. I'm all aboard the Tay train. Choo-choo. A lot of it is ADP-based. You know, he goes third round, sometimes slips into the fourth round, which fourth round is just, like, really good value. But I'm still happy with him in the third round, just because the opportunity there is just phenomenal. Like, there's DeAndre Washington's the only other guy there, and he apparently doesn't know how to pass protect, so that's going to keep him off the field a lot. So he's short of injury, he'll be the guy. He'll get a ton of carries, and he has flashed that big play potential. If he didn't get hurt last year, he wouldn't have slowed down likely. I think the potential for a top five running back is there. I don't know if that's this most likely outcome, but it's there. I think RB1 is like pretty likely for a guy you get late in the third. Come on.
Early fourth. Yeah, the volume alone makes him attractive in the fourth round or the end of the third round. Basically, Jack Del Rio loves feeding a lead back. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a running team. He wants the Raiders to be a running team. And the fact that they should have positive game script this year will make a huge difference, because Latavius Murray basically fell off of a map in the fourth quarter last, and all the games, because they were trailing, they were throwing the ball. When he did get a touch, he wasn't doing anything with it, because he was literally the only running back in Oakland. The second leading rusher for the team was Derek Carr. So he was the only running back there. This year, that will change. They have DeAndre Washington. They have Jalen Rashad.
Sure.
Who apparently is doing spectacular things in camp. So keep your eyes open for him as well. But Latavius Murray, can't go wrong with that value. He could be the divisional MVP. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that after we talk about San Diego.
San Diego Chargers of San Diego.
The whale's vagina of fantasy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So San Diego, who a lot of screaming hot values.
There it is. There's the drop. Pretty much everyone on this team is a value in some way or another. Keenan Allen going in the third is a great value. Melvin Gordon in the sixth is potentially a good value if he can score a touchdown. And then Rivers sliding into the ninth round. Gates going in the ninth or tenth round. These guys are all great values. This is actually a tougher one for us to pick. But give us your San Diego Chargers MVP.
I think, based on value alone, I am going to pick one. Bastard of the Trident, Philip Rivers.
Indeed.
It was a tough decision, yeah. But Philip Rivers is a QB1. He has always been a QB1. Last year, San Diego dealt with a ridiculous amount of injuries to their offensive line, like historic amount of injuries to their offensive line. That shouldn't be the case this year. And you have to look at the numbers. He still finished as a QB1 last year, even with their situation. Now, you might think that a lot of that has to do with game script, and you're correct. They were behind a lot. They were throwing the ball a lot. But nothing tells me that that will change this season.
Yeah, he was at fantasy points per game in the first half of the season. He was a top five quarterback. And then, you know, like you said, the O-line got injured. He couldn't throw a pass to save his life because he was under assault the rest of the season. And then, he fell off from there. So if that doesn't happen again, which I'm not usually a fan of banking on injuries occurring, then he could return to that top five quarterback value again. You're getting him 9th, 10th round. That is a screaming hot value.
Exactly. I won't drop the take again, but it is a very good value. Yeah. I mean, he's going behind a lot of quarterbacks. He's going behind guys sometimes like Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Not too often, but I've seen it happen. I mean, he's definitely going behind guys like Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, Carson Palmer, with good reason for that. Yeah. I would take Palmer over Rivers. But, I mean, if you can get Rivers in the 10th, I mean, that's a dream scenario, really, because you're getting a guy that could end up as a top five quarterback that late in the draft. And that's what you're looking for when you're drafting. Essentially, you can't pass up that value. So as far as divisional MVP, we should probably move right along here because we're only on our second division. Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers. My take is that Latavius Murray is going to be the divisional MVP just based on volume alone and where he's being taken in the draft. I think he has a huge opportunity to outperform his ADP by a long margin.
Yeah, I think it has to be Latavius or Demarius. And I think just because the running back points are more valuable, it's got to be Latavius. If you can return that high-end RB1 value at the end of the third round, that's potentially a league winner, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, could Latavius. Be. I mean, I like DT there as well. I think Latavius slightly better value at that spot.
Yeah.
But DT, I wouldn't be opposed to selecting DT as the divisional MVP.
Yeah.
Let's take a journey over to the AFC North and
Alrighty.
Peek into the situation in Baltimore.
Oh, God. What a disgusting situation it is as well. This is one we lamented on who to pick as our team MVP, to run through just the quagmire of players there.
Yeah, it's bad, but it's, go ahead.
The rotting corpse of Steve Smith. Bashard Perryman, who apparently is made of glass. Mr. Glass, Bashard Perryman.
They call me Mr. Glass.
Exactly. One-trick pony Mike Wallace, who isn't even as fast as he used to be anymore. Kamar Aiken, who most view is just a guy. And then there's this group of running back misfits. Justin Forsett, Kenneth Dixon, Buck Allen, Terrence West, apparently, who is somehow supposedly playing better than the rest of them.
Yeah.
So it's just such a mess. It's almost like you want to avoid all of them, except for one guy that we think is the best value.
Joe Flacco,
exactly. No.
He is elite, right? Isn't that the narrative around Joe Flacco? He is the most elite quarterback in the NFL?
If all it takes to be elite is throwing the ball ridiculously far, then yes. Actually Kamar Aiken, based off
Aiken.
Off value at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to really get involved with the running back situation right now. You could argue Justin Forsett based on where he's going if he is the guy. But there's no way of knowing he is a guy. And when you draft, there will be no way of knowing if he is a guy. So I think there are better ways to go. I mean, look at where Justin Forsett's being drafted. I would rather take a Crow, who we'll talk about later, very soon, actually. It's got to be Kamar Aiken. He was a beneficiary of a lot of injuries last year. Steve Smith went down, and Kamar Aiken came in and was the lead dog. The last 8 weeks of the season, he showed wide receiver one potential. He actually ended the season with just south of 1,000 yards overall, which was surprising to me when I looked at his stats. He did play the full 16 games, but he wasn't really a starter until about mid-season. So he put up an insane second half, essentially.
Yeah, and a good thing to point out is that So Steve Smith got hurt in week 7 at Arizona, if I remember correctly. So that's when, like, week 8 is when Aiken stepped in. And then 3 weeks later, Flacco got hurt and was out the rest of the season. So there was a pretty small window of it being Aiken and Flacco. And he was very successful during that window. And then after that, it was just kind of all went to shit. So if you assume Flacco isn't going to tear his ACL again, and you assume that it's a lot of assumptions because this is just such a crowded field, but, you know, that Steve Smith isn't the same guy after tearing his Achilles at 37. If you make these not so bold assumptions, you know, we're now getting a full 16 games of that 3-game sample size. And so Aiken has, I would say, top 20 receiver upside. You know, it's probably not going to be wide receiver 1, but a wide receiver 2 that, you know, you can get in the 12th round, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes later.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to choose a wide receiver out of that core, then I think it has to be Kamar Aiken. He already proved, like what you just said, he proved that he is a capable wide receiver with subpar quarterbacking.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he really doesn't have a lot of competition other than guys with a bunch of question marks. So he is about as safe a pick as you can find on the Baltimore team. And he has insane value. I mean, he's being drafted in the 12th, 13th round sometimes. So go out and get Kamar Aiken if you're looking for that late round dart throw that could potentially wind up on your starting roster at some point during the season.
Yeah.
And let's move to Cincinnati.
Ah, yes. The Cincinnati Bengals of Ohio, Cincinnati.
Of Ohio, yeah. So Cincinnati, they have some interesting names, actually. I think they're one of the teams that have this backfield, which will be split depending on what format you're playing in.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Jeremy Hill. We have Gio Bernard. Okay, basically the two guys we're going to focus on. Some other names there, A.J. Green. A.J. Green's hard not to mention as a fantasy MVP.
Right.
I think we could say that A.J. Green is a fantasy MVP there, but I think he's more of the obvious choice. So we're going to stray away from A.J. Green.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the running back situation, which seems to be kind of forgotten. Nobody's really talking about the Cincinnati backfield. So we have Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard. What is your take on these two guys?
So they're getting a little bit forgotten because of how maddening last year was, that it was this sort of very even split and you can never predict who was going to have what game. But Hugh Jackson is gone now. And yep. I wouldn't be surprised if this split we're seeing kind of dissolved, and, you know, and possibly we saw more of a hot hand situation. And so I think it kind of depends on your format at that point. In standard, we're going to say Jeremy Hill is the fantasy MVP because of just the touchdown potential. Reception's not helping as much. And, you know, it's a little bit of a dart throw, you know, but everything we're hearing out of camp is that he is, you know, he's looking great. And we saw towards the end of 2014 when he was the guy, he was very productive. So if he can run away with the job now that he's not sort of being pigeonholed into this split role, he could, you know, get back to that RB1 value, and he's going at the end of the fourth, sometimes beginning fifth. So he's a great guy to target if you're starting wide receiver heavy, as someone that can sort of give you some
potentially
safety. Yeah.
Yeah, he could be an RB1, potentially. I mean, he did finish first overall, tied for first overall in rushing touchdowns last season with 11.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeremy Hill, I think, again, we mentioned this with Tannehill. Because he was drafted, and Jeremy Hill was drafted really high. I mean, C.J. Anderson as well. They were both drafted in the first round last season.
Mm-hmm.
And he spurned so many owners. And it wasn't like he was terrible. He put up the touchdown numbers. He just wasn't consistently getting the ball. And I think, like you mentioned, that is what frustrated a lot of people. But what we saw last year was a bit odd, because it wasn't like Jeremy Hill was the first and second down back and Gio only came in on third downs. It was like they each took series at random points throughout the game.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you would see a Gio Bernard series where Gio Bernard would be out there the entire series and Jeremy Hill would just be on the sideline. And then their next drive, it would be Jeremy Hill. So it was really, really hard to predict. Jeremy Hill was still like the goal line back, and he still will be the goal line back. He'll be the first and second down back in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
From all accounts from camp, I think he'll be the first and second down back. So in standard, it's got to be Jeremy Hill. And PPR?
PPR, Gio Bernard. Gio Bernard, just because the points per reception. He will be the pass catcher. Jeremy Hill does not catch passes. And so he will be that. And he's flashed that upside. For the first half of the 2014 season, he was averaging roughly 13 fantasy points a game, which made him a top eight running back. And that's in standard scoring, too. That's not even in PPR. So the potential is there for Gio Bernard to also maybe run away with this job. We're just kind of splitting into standard versus PPR because we have no idea which one it could be. And PPR, you got to give the edge to Gio. And standard, you got to give the goal line work is probably still going to Jeremy Hill. So you kind of got to give the touchdown edge to him. But I wouldn't even hate if you said Gio in standard just because his ADP is four rounds later. He can be had in the eighth round. So purely off of value, maybe Gio, but, I think we're going to hedge our bet here and just split it down the middle.
Yeah.
Say they're both great values.
Seems like the safest route. Yeah, okay, let's go to Cleveland.
Okay.
The most exciting team to watch in the preseason, the Cleveland Browns.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have RG3 slinging the rock, Terrell Pryor just making that seamless transition to wide receiver.
He can run a go route. That's all.
that's all that matters.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we have Josh Gordon, the imminent return of Josh Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon, yeah. That's the very clear reference.
Yep, yep, yep. So who is your fantasy MVP on the Browns?
This is another one we kind of struggled with while we were discussing it. We kind of came down to two names of Isaiah Crowell or Corey Coleman.
Yes.
And we settled on Isaiah Crowell because we think his value is a little bit safer. Coleman, he will have those first four games to himself, but then Gordon comes back. And if Gordon is what he was a couple years ago somehow, then that's kind of it for Coleman. It's not good news for him. So a lot of the value in Coleman is banking on that he can kind of just run away with the job. And, Gordon kind of slumps and isn't the same guy. Maybe he has another drug violation. I don't know. So we're going to say Isaiah Crowell because he's the Jeremy Hill of this offense. Hugh Jackson's there. He'll be the early down and goal line back. And the knock against Crow is that everyone expects the Browns to be losing every game so badly that they can never have a running play again, and all they do is throw it to Duke Johnson.
Game script, exactly.
It's the game script argument. And I think that's a little unfair to make. I think they're going to try to be a run-heavy team given RG3 is their quarterback. I think they're going to try for that, and I think I'm betting the Browns are going to be better than everyone's expecting. They're treating them like this 0-16 team. I wouldn't be surprised to see them finish closer to 500. So I think Crow in like the 10th round where he's going is like pretty good value. He's one of the last guys that you can get who has like an actual role on his offense. Goal line and early down work is pretty valuable in the 10th round.
Yeah. And just to back that up with some stats, last year in terms of points per snap, Isaiah Crowell finished ahead of guys like Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray, Frank Gore, Gio Bernard, TJ Yeldon, who was the starter last year in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Justin Forsett, finished ahead of Duke Johnson. I mean, he was right around the LeSean McCoy, Danny Woodhead range in terms of points per snap. And you're getting that in the 10th round, realistically. I mean, if you look at the list, he's, in terms of points per snap, running back two. Right in the middle of the running back two range. And like you said, Hugh Jackson, he likes the split, but he likes having that clear first and second down back, and that is what Crow is. And if Cleveland is competitive, then basically you're getting a starting running back at that point it's almost like you're getting him for free.
Yeah. And a good thing to point out that his performance supports a little bit along with your stats is that once they switch offensive coordinators towards the end of last season, Crow performed much better. He started averaging close to 5 yards a carry over those last four games. So if he can carry that over with Hugh Jackson, who has shown success with running backs in a running game, then, the value is certainly there.
Yep. Okay, we're kind of getting glossed over the next team because it's a really, really obvious choice.
Yeah.
I mean, we were trying to think of a contrarian way to veer away from the obvious selection, but with Antonio Brown, you can't. So we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers here. Mm-hmm. It's Antonio Brown. Yeah. That's a fantasy game.
There's not really anything else to say. He's incredibly safe. He's a safe first overall pick in any format. it's Antonio Brown. Just, yeah, there's nothing really, we don't really even need to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to say. Okay. If you like risk aversion and you haven't, well, I guess you would have to have the first overall pick, yeah, unless he slides to number two, which I've seen happen,
but
not very frequently. But Antonio Brown is the perfect first overall pick because he's as safe as it gets. He will be fed. He's finished as the wide receiver one 2 years in a row consecutively, mm-hmm, and he could potentially make it trifecta, a hat trick.
I think it's pretty safe. Number one overall finishes. And there really isn't anyone else there that's desirable at their ADP. You know, Ladarius Green is broken. No one has emerged as a wide receiver too. Le'Veon Bell's ADP is still pretty high, even though he's missing three games and coming off of a pretty horrific knee injury. It's Antonio Brown. Let's just move on.
It's Antonio Brown. And let's just go ahead and put him as the MVP of the whole division.
Yeah, it's boring, but it's all these teams kind of have cloudy, like, oh, I guess it could be this guy, except for Antonio Brown. So,
yeah.
So we recommend drafting Antonio Brown.
I know not a lot of other people are saying it.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's flown under the radar like this, but
it's
guys,
it doesn't
draft
make any sense.
Antonio Brown.
We recommend drafting him. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The last division, the AFC, we're going to talk about because it is the last division, the AFC, the AFC South. So we have the Houston Texans of Texas.
Of Texas, yes. Of
the
Houston.
Colts, the Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans.
Most people that don't know that is pronounced with a soft J. Hogwire.
Yeah, of course. Oh, that's not common knowledge?
No, apparently not. I don't know. People are saying it with like this weird, like, violent, hard J, like Jaguars. And it's really like, ugh.
Yeah, it's like hogging. You know, when I wake up and I want, you know, get the blood flowing a little bit, I'd go for a nice hog.
This is the Swedish thing that people are doing.
So the Houston Texans.
Yes.
Lamar Miller.
Yeah, we're kind of being boring about this one, too. Lamar Miller. We don't really buy DeAndre Hopkins at his ADP. We're kind of expecting some regression a little bit. I mean, not that much, but as a first-round pick, it's a little too risky. We don't think he's in that same tier as all the top five wide receivers. I don't know if we need to name them. So Lamar Miller, he's our RB3. Incredibly high floor because there's basically no one behind him. He's going to get fed like cry. And a high ceiling because he's very talented. Do you have any numbers for this? Do we even need him?
Did you just say he will be fed like crayfish?
Yeah, he's going to be fed crawfish. That is the delicatessen of Houston. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, do they have it there?
That's it, obviously.
Yeah, Lamar Miller, basically, he wanted to be the guy. And he never had the opportunity to be the guy in Miami. And a lot of haters will say, well, there's a reason why he was never given that chance, because maybe the coaches saw something that led them to believe that he didn't have the durability to be that workhorse back. But you have to remember just the complete disarray that their coaching staff was last season. I mean, Joe Philbin was absolutely terrible. It's the whole game plan that he provided for the Miami offense. It basically blew up in his face, which resulted in him getting fired at their week five bye after the first four games of the season. Lamar Miller came out after that. He still had his boom or bust games, but he never really received the volume that he needed to be like a top five running back. He still finished in the top 10, which is quite amazing considering that he really never received more than like around 12 carries a game. I mean,
He finishes the sixth best running back and had less than 200 carries total, which is pretty crazy to say since everyone above him has, you know, 250 over 300 once you get to the top tier guys.
Efficiency.
Yeah. So he was highly efficient. And now it's not crazy to expect he gets 300-plus carries. You know, that could happen. And then, you know, those numbers could spike. He could finish as the RB1. I don't think that's all
potential.
Crazy to say.
I mean, he catches the ball. Houston has finished in the top five in terms of rushing attempts in each of the past couple of seasons. So they want to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They did it with Arian Foster, and it's somewhat humorous that they basically just swapped positions. Now Arian Foster's in Miami, Lamar Miller's in Houston.
Yeah.
But he'll receive all the opportunity in the world, and they run that kind of conservative offense where Brock Osweiler is the game manager, kind of like an Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to see Brock letting it rip this season. I think they want to let their defense win the game. They want to let Lamar Miller win them the game. Yeah. And that makes him the clear-cut MVP of the Texans. I mean, we talked about Will Fuller a little bit, but piggybacking off of what I was just talking about with Brock, I don't know if they have the offensive structure to support a second wide receiver. I mean, yeah, he's somebody you can target really, really late in the draft. And if you have the space on your bench, you can just sit him there for a little while and see if maybe he develops into a viable fantasy player. Or if DeAndre Hopkins goes down, then he steps into that role because he does have that kind of deep threat, just run and throw me the ball type of ability.
Yeah.
So that's all there really is to say for the Texans. Let's go on to Indy.
To the Indianapolis Colts. It's one of two guys. I don't remember which one settled Lux. On. They're both Andrew Lux.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's basically Andrew Luck, right?
I mean, all the fantasy relevant guys are not Andrew Luck. No. He can be a good value. Sometimes he slips like the fifth or sixth round, and I actually don't hate that. We're not going to say Andrew Luck.
We are going to say Dante. Are we saying Dante Moncrief?
We were deciding between him and Dwayne Allen.
Right.
I think we should go Dante Moncrief, though.
Bruce Dwayne.
Bruce Dwayne Allen. Yes.
Dwayne Allen. Do we trust him?
Sure.
Indianapolis needs us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? Let's just go with Dante Moncrief. Basically, what, fifth round ADP now?
Yeah, his ADP often slips into the fifth round, and he is the pretty clear second wide receiver in that offense. He kind of gets glossed over because of how bad the Colts were last year, but I think you kind of just have to give it a mulligan with the Colts offense, you know? Like, Luck got hurt pretty early on, and then it was the Matt Hasselbeck show, and that O-line was just awful, and they've made efforts to improve it. So assuming that the offense bounces back, which I don't think is that crazy of a thing to say, he's now the number two in, like, a very good passing offense, and the kind of de facto red zone wide receiver. Dwayne Allen will also be a touchdown machine, and why we were considering him. But Moncrief should have a very large role there in an Andrew Luck offense.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, he as a number two, he's already pushing T.Y. Hilton to be the number one. He'll be the red zone guy. And if something did happen to T.Y. Hilton, you don't want to rely on something like that. But grabbing somebody like Moncrief, who is already valuable as a wide receiver two in the Indy offense, well, he has a potential to be, you know, a top 12 wide receiver if Hilton goes down. Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think that offense is one that can support two wide receiver ones. Like, we've seen some offenses can do that in the past, and I think if Andrew Luck can get right, then that can happen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fantasy heads out there that love Moncrief, and with good reason. Mm-hmm. So now let's move on to the Soft Jays, the Jaguars.
Oh yes, the Jaguars.
The Jaguars of Jacksonville.
Yes.
So another up-and-coming team, kind of in a similar mold as the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, a quarterback that was drafted a couple years ago who's starting to, I don't know, find his stride, if you will, even though I wasn't really a fan of what Blake Bortles did last year, but he did put up numbers. Didn't really lead to victories, but he was putting up fantasy numbers, that's for sure, and that's all that really matters. Then we have AR-15, Alan Hearns, TJ Yeldon, and the newbie Chris Ivory.
Mm-hmm.
So we're split on this one, too, in terms of standard and PPR, if I recall.
Yes, I think in standard we said Chris Ivory because he should be the goal line back. I think he profiles as the early down back, and that was basically what he did in New York. You know, Bilal Powell was kind of the third down back there towards the end of the year. And so it's not inconceivable that he is able to maybe not produce quite at the same level he did in New York. He kind of started on a crazy tear. But to be a high upside RB2, I think that's realistic. And he often slips into the eighth or ninth round. And in PPR, we were discussing one, Todd James Yeldon. I don't know if that's what TJ stands for.
I think it does.
Does it?
Yeah, it seems so. I have no idea.
I don't know. I was like, oh, man, that'd be a good guess.
I mean, it seems like it could be possible. Are you looking this up right now?
Well, this is weird.
What is TJ Yeldon? Maybe his name is just TJ. It could be one of those, like, There are no, it's not actually an acronym for anything. Is this TJ?
I think it's just a nickname, because his name is actually Timothy Antonio Yeldon. I don't know where the J comes from. I think it's just a nickname. Like, yeah, TJ. I don't know.
TJ, okay.
Yeah, so TJ Yeldon on PPR, because he profiles as the third down pass catching back. And he is sort of like a good DORB candidate, because if Ivory ever went down, then he would just become the three down back. And
Ivory could go down. He's not the healthiest of running backs.
Yeah, he's been injury prone throughout his entire career. He's another very violent runner.
He is. He's like Marshawn Lynch light, basically.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe
it. He just runs straight at people.
Yeah, except he doesn't prove to have the durability that Lynch had in his prime, not last year when Lynch just started falling apart.
Chris Ivory, in terms of standard, going the other direction, if you're playing in the standard league, Chris Ivory finished fifth overall in terms of points per opportunity behind David Johnson, Todd Gurley, Doug Martin, and Adrian Peterson.
Those are all pretty good names.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I've heard, that those are good players. That's true, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, he finished ahead of guys like Devonta Freeman, Lamar Miller, LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray. That wasn't saying much for last year, but a lot of big names. He started off the season hot. Hot. He was a top five running back throughout the first 6 weeks, I believe, and then he started to slow down towards the end of the year. But he still finished with over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he's going in the sixth. Is he a sixth round ADP? Yeah, or is it later?
I've seen him slip even later. I've seen him slip into the eighth round occasionally.
Oh man! The eighth round would be absurd if you can get Chris Ivory in the eighth round. He will be the goal line back. He will be the first and second down back there. Mm. And basically, in the eighth round, even if he does get injured, it's not going to destroy the makeup of your team.
Yeah.
So it's basically high reward with very little risk drafting Chris Ivory.
Yeah. It's not a big investment, and the upside is certainly there. And everyone's just assuming this is going to be like a timeshare split down the middle. But why? Why is that this given assumption? For all we know, Ivory will be, you know, this will be like a 65-35, you know, situation, and it'll be mostly Ivory.
Yeah, and they, like you mentioned before, they want to be a running team. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in that situation where they're chasing games like they were last year, and that's why Blake Bortles had such high numbers.
Yeah.
A lot of it came in that garbage time where they were down by two or three touchdowns, and okay, we're going to go out and throw the ball because why would we run? That's not the buildup. The makeup of their team. They don't want to do that this year. So, let's move on to Tennessee.
The Tennessee Titans of Tennessee. Yes.
Who recently traded Doriel Green Beckham, DGB.
Demo Gorgon. He's gone. Demo Gorgon
Beckham. He's gone, yeah. Demo Gorgon Beckham. So, they basically just gave up on him. Not good for him, the player, but that leaves a very thin receiving core.
Yeah, so, it's kind of ugly. It's the corpse of Kendall Wright, the corpse of Andre Johnson.
So basically two corpses.
Tajay Sharpe and Rashad Matthews. Rashad Matthews are basically it.
I mean, they don't have a lot. So obviously they're another team. We just mentioned this with the Jaguars. They want to run the ball. They have DeMarco Murray, who they just paid. And they have Derrick Henry, who they drafted fairly high. So their expectation is that they're going to have this like two-headed monster with DeMarco being the lead back, and they're just going to wear teams down. They're not going to put the pressure on Marcus Mariota to really sling the ball down the field. He's going to kind of be in this comfort zone as dictated by the running game.
Yeah.
So who is your MVP?
I think we were split on this, and I think we're just going to leave it that way. Mine is DeMarco DeMurray.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, I don't buy – this is another one, you know, as I was just saying, where I don't buy this is just a given it's a timeshare. Derrick Henry got drafted, and everyone's like, oh, that's it. It's a timeshare. Henry's going to run away with the job. It'll be his job by the second half of the season. Forget about DeMarco Murray. And I don't think that's true at all. I think they drafted Henry – for the future, for, you know, next season, because I don't think they're expecting to have Murray for very long, given the tread on his tires. but, yeah, I think this is DeMarco Murray's job. He profiles as the pass catching back on that team. I think Dexter McCluster's still there, but pretend like he's not. DeMarco Murray will be the third down back there, which sort of goes well with the idea that they're going to be game scripted behind a lot of the time. And I think for the early down and stuff and, you know, goal line work potentially too, it's, you know, at least a 60-40 situation. It's weird because I watched the preseason games with Derrick Henry and everyone's just like going like, oh my God, he's like a truly special talent. Look at him. And I don't see it. I don't see anything that makes me think Derrick Henry is so good that they just have to give him carries.
He's not like an explosive talent. He kind of just finds a hole and plods through it. He's a powerful back.
Yeah.
He kind of bullies people when he makes that first contact. But he's not fast. He's not super fast. He doesn't have incredible vision.
No.
I know Mike Mularkey came out and just said that they'll try to get Derrick Henry the ball as much as possible. So what do you think about that?
I'm not particularly worried about it. I think it's going to be more of a spelling DeMarco Murray situation because, you know, he doesn't need to get 400 touches again. And I don't think he needs that much to be productive. You know, he doesn't need to have a record-breaking season for him to be worth his ADP and for him to be valuable to your team. Henry will be involved some because they want to keep the load off of Murray a little bit. But I still think this is mostly his job. I think that if anyone's going to get game scripted out, it's Henry, not Murray. And he's going, you know, fourth, sometimes fifth round. He's going a bit late. And I think RB1 is still in his range of outcomes.
Definitely.
The sort of like stat that gets thrown around a lot is that when running from under center, he averages over 5 yards a carry. When running in the shotgun, he averages closer to 3. And he ran out of the shotgun on 80% of plays in Philadelphia. And so he didn't underperform last year because that's it. He was out of gas. It's because he was being misused. And now he's going to go back to how he was used before. And it should bode well for him. So I like him to bounce back.
Okay, my fantasy MVP for the Tennessee Titans, and this is the last team we're talking about in the AFC, and then we'll shift over to the NFC, is one Delanie Walker. Should not come as a surprise if you've watched any of our previous podcasts. I like Delanie Walker. Now, the only knock on Delanie Walker is that his ADP basically forces him to perform at a super high level because he is being drafted in the 7th round, which is a little bit too high. But I think he can return that investment just based on volume alone. A lot of people seem to think that his numbers will regress because it was a perfect storm last year and Kendall Wright was hurt and he was the only option in Tennessee. And now they have Rishard Matthews and Tajay Sharpe. And that's the argument, that they have Rishard Matthews and Tajay Sharpe, who are supposedly world beaters as compared to who they had last season. I mean, they had basically nobody last season. They don't have much this season. He was the most targeted tight end, and he's kind of the safety blanket of Marcus Mariota. I mean, Mariota loves targeting him. He had the most red zone targets, and now that DGB is gone, he probably will receive even more red zone targets. Mm. So he will be the red zone guy in Tennessee, and I think he can duplicate what he did last season, which put him in the tight end 5 range. So Delanie Walker is my fantasy MVP for the Tennessee Titans, and I think if everything goes right, he can actually outperform his ADP. Mm. Boom. Mm. Gonna say it. Boom.
Boom.
There it is. All right, let's go to the NFC, the National Football Conference of Footballs.
Well, did we give our AFC South MVP?
Our AFC South MVP, we did not. Nice catch on that, Leo. I jumped the gun there.
Come on.
So our NFC South MVP is one Lamar Miller. Yeah, it has to be Lamar Miller, right? There's no other way to go, but it's Lamar. Lamar, he could finish as the RB1, and he's being drafted late first round. He's being drafted behind guys like David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson. So typically he's about the 5th or 6th running back off the board. And to get him at that value when he has the potential to finish as the running back 1, that is tasty. Tasty, tasty, tasty.
Indeed. Tasty. Let's move to the NFC.
Tasty cakes.
Tasty cakes, sure.
Yeah, the National Football Cakes. conference. Yeah. NFC East. Dallas Cowboys, who we just watched tonight, actually.
We did.
Yeah, so who is your fantasy MVP for the Cowboys? Zeke Elliott.
No. No, he looked great tonight, but that was never really the issue of what he looked great. It's nice to see that he did, you know, in a preseason game, you know, eye roll at that magically translating to the regular season. The announcers were acting like, oh, man, you know, the Seahawks had the best run defense last season, and here he is. He's running against them great. You know, never mind that they're running a vanilla defensive scheme. You know, never mind any of that. Not
but
Zeke
this
Elliott.
Is a dress rehearsal.
No, that means almost nothing. So not Zeke Elliott with his first-round ADP. It's a little bit boring, but I'm going to say Dez Bryant because he's been slipping into the second round. People are worried that after his injury last year, and Romo's injury potential, that, you know, he's got this scary floor that could pop up at any second. But I think he's actually pretty safe, even if Romo got hurt. Dak Prescott, again, it's a preseason. He's already looking much better than Brandon Whedon could ever look. I don't think that we see Dez's production disappear if Dak is leaned on for 10 games of the season, or however long it could be. And I don't think we should assume because Dez was hurt last season, suddenly he will get hurt again this season. So, yeah, I like Dez to finish again as a top five wide receiver, and he's sliding to the second round often.
Yeah, I mean, he is hurt, but...
well, it's a concussion. That's not the same.
So he's hurt, but this could be a positive thing potentially if it's... I mean, assuming it's not, like, season-threatening... You never know with concussions.
I can't believe you said a concussion was a positive thing just now. I can't believe it.
A positive thing for his ADP because it might scare people away from drafting him in the first round. So you might be able to snag him in the beginning of the second, which is fantastic value. Yeah. So I agree. That does make him the fantasy MVP of the Dallas Cowboys because he does. I mean, outside of the big three, Brown, Julio, and Odell, he probably has just as much potential as AJ Green to finish like in number four, or maybe even push the top three guys to finish in that range.
I think
we saw Brandon Marshall
AJ.
Last year. Yeah. Okay, so Dez Bryant, let's go to the New York Football Giants of New York.
The New York Football Giants of New York. This one we were kind of split between one Odell Beckham and one Sterling Shepard.
Yes.
I think we decided to just do it as standard versus PPR, and standard we prefer Odell Beckham. Boring, but again, you know, I don't have the exact numbers, but the stats are basically that he's on track to be Randy Moss.
Basically. The greatest receiver of all times is Odell Beckham.
He's on track to be the greatest receiver who's ever played the game.
Just go watch that highlight reel.
Just go watch
it's insane.
It'll be fine.
Those one-handed catches.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that anything that gets even remotely near him, he just hauls it in. He has a gravitational force. But we're also going to name Sterling Shepard maybe more as a PPR play because he's going in the eighth, sometimes ninth round. He is the de facto number two wide receiver there, facing the soft coverage as they double and Odell Beckham to try to slow him down any way possible. So while he might not have the highest ceiling because, you know, Odell is the number one target there, He should still see a good deal of work.
Definitely. Yeah. I think basically because Odell Beckham is there, he'll force the defenses to shift towards him. So the defenses will slide their safety over to help over the top when Odell is running his routes, which should leave like the middle of the field wide open for Sterling Shepard. And I don't think he's going to be that deep threat, but he'll be the possession receiver right behind Odell Beckham Jr. So he should see a lot of targets or a healthy number of targets and be very productive in standard and PPR, but more so in PPR, definitely. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, Philadelphia, of course.
Carson Wentz, fantasy MVP.
There it is. Boom, let's move on.
From whence they came.
From whence they came, only for that reason.
Yeah, Eagles. I think it's got to be one of the mats, right?
It's one of the mats. This is another one where we kind of hedged our bet, and we said standard Ryan Matthews, PPR Jordan Matthews.
We're copping out.
I won't have a problem going Jordan Matthews in standard, too, just because Ryan Matthews, he gets hurt so easily.
He does, and he won't. I mean, now it's seeming more and more likely that he won't be a three-down back. It will be Darren Sproles that will come in and spell him on third downs. So, I mean, Ryan Matthews is kind of – he's in that Jeremy Hill mold where he'll be the first and second down back, will receive the goal line work. But, I mean, he's not as talented as Jeremy Hill, in my opinion. So to get him in the fifth round is still good value, but I think I would almost shift towards Jordan Matthews as well. Because he's being drafted even later, and he should be a wide receiver too. He's finished as a wide receiver too each of the last 2 years. So,
yeah, I mean, he's just even just he's going to see so many targets that he can't help but finish as a wide receiver too. And if he can progress at all as a receiver, you know, the ceiling's a bit higher than that. I don't know how. I don't think it's super high, but considering that he often goes in the sixth round as a wide receiver three, he's definitely a great value.
Yeah, no, fantastic value there. So Jordan Matthews, he's another one of those targets. Like if you go running back heavy early, then you could probably still get Jordan Matthews as like a wide receiver too, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
really. That's great value there. So let's move on to Washington, the Redskins.
The Washington Washingtons.
The Washington offensive name.
Washingtons.
Football team, yeah.
I mean, you got your take. Let's just give your take.
What?
Just give your...
I was trying to decide if I was actually going to say this name, but I will, just because, why not? Kirk Cousins is my fantasy MVP of the Washington Redskins. I mean, just look at the situation in Washington. They have receiving weapons that are healthy this year. One, DeSean Jackson has had a fantastic camp by all accounts, and he missed half the season last year. And if you're thinking, well, DeSean Jackson's not that much of a difference maker, well, actually he is. If you go back to the games that he played with Kirk Cousins last season and then look at the correlation, Kirk Cousins was the third best quarterback in all of fantasy when he had DeSean Jackson on the field. So if DeSean Jackson can stay healthy, then he will be the third best fantasy quarterback in the NFL.
That's
how it works, right?
Straight line, right? Yep.
You can just copy and paste last season's stats to this season.
Yeah, it seems simple enough.
Yeah, I don't think he will be the third best quarterback. Obviously, that's crazy, but he has the potential to be a QB1, like the back end of the QB1 range. And he's being drafted late. He has been right around the 10th round, I think, is realistic where you can draft Kirk Cousins. If you can get him in the 11th, it's a steal in my eyes. But 10th round, I think he will produce a similar fantasy season to Phillip Rivers.
I mean, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life.
There it is. Just wait for it to happen, and you will like it.
This is one we'll always disagree on. I comp 2015 Kirk Cousins to 2013 Nick Foles, of this just like unsustainable touchdown rate, balls that should have been interceptions that somehow fell his way. No, I think he's going to regress like crazy. But fine, have your take. You can believe in your imaginary friend.
Okay, let's hear your take. Who's your MVP with the Redskins?
So I wanted to be really, really bold and go Josh Doctson and just like, you know, he's supposed to be back week one. It's going to take him a little time to get up to speed since he's missed everything.
Yeah, basically.
But, you know, maybe, but I couldn't do it. I'm going to DeSean Jackson, basically for the reasons that you named. When healthy, he was a very good wide receiver. He's always been boom or bust. That's always going to be his mold. It's kind of a touchdown or he hurts you guy. But I will say that Kirk Cousins is a better wide receiver than he's had in a while. I mean, better quarterback than he's had in a while.
So, well, Kirk Cousins is so good that he probably could be a wide receiver.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he'll catch a couple touchdown passes. He's got that athletic skill set.
Sure he does. So I just DeSean Jackson because, you know, I don't expect him to come back and get hurt again. And mostly his ADP is a lot of what makes him attractive. Often slips into the eighth round, which, you know, for a guy that has shown he can finish his... I mean, that year in Philadelphia with Chip, he was a wide receiver one.
He's finished as a wide receiver one a few times, and he's typically a clear-cut wide receiver two.
Yeah.
And you're getting that in the eighth round. So, yeah, I like DeSean a lot.
Yeah.
But I like Kirk Cousins a little bit more. That is my take.
Let's just move on. We got to say our NFC East MVP.
Okay, so our NFC East MVP... Who are you going to go with?
I don't know.
Who do you think we should take here?
I'm going to say Dez.
Kirk Cousins.
Nope.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were going to be in sync on that one. I don't know what happened.
Not even close. The last name I could have possibly been thinking of.
Yeah, Dez. I like Dez.
Yeah.
I'll go with Dez.
Yeah.
I might even argue Odell Beckham to be boring.
I mean, but you know, he has the ceiling to be the number one wide receiver, and I don't think it's not at all crazy to say that. So yeah,
Odell. I mean, but then again, Dez could be the number one receiver too.
They have similar ceilings, and Dez goes, you know, 12 picks later. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So Dez Bryant. All right. So as I mentioned at the top of the pod, we already did a NFC West preview where we focus solely on the NFC West, which will be up sometime next week or right around when this pod is available on YouTube. So it might already be there. You can go watch it if you want. Or maybe you've already listened to it on iTunes. But we talked about the Cardinals, the Rams, 49ers, Seahawks. Basically, just to give you a brief rundown, we probably won't focus too much on this division because the content is available. But the Cardinals, we decided John Brown was our MVP.
Yeah.
This was before he was dealing with that concussion problem. Yeah. And then he came back to practice and then left with headaches again. But then he's back at practice, I think, is the latest news with John Brown. So
yeah.
I'm going to stick with John Brown. I don't know about you.
No, I'm with you because I don't like David Johnson and his value. Larry Fitzgerald is old and broken. I don't really buy the Michael Floyd hype. Carson Palmer, he is a good value when he falls, but no, I'll stick with John Brown. I like it.
John Brown, the Rams, the clear-cut fantasy MVP there is Todd Gurley. He's really the only player they have.
Well, Kenny Britt.
He's the only one out on the field.
Well, Kenny Britt.
It's just Todd Gurley.
It's just him out there running by himself.
Have you watched the newest episode of Hard Knocks?
I started watching the episode and then did not finish it.
Yeah, well, the one takeaway is that they are going to feed Todd Gurley. They had the meeting where Jeff Fisher was talking with his other coaches, and he was talking about, like, okay, guys, when we're out there, do not touch Gurley. Make sure – he's at 30. Yeah, don't touch 30. Make sure your guys know not to touch Gurley.
Touch 30, yeah.
Yeah, don't touch 30. We can't have him hitting the ground. He's too important. He's like a quarterback. Treat him like a quarterback. That was his whole speech. And so he knows that Gurley is basically the team.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when they were prepping for their preseason game where Gurley actually went in for a series and scored a touchdown, they were like, all right, let's just feed him. Let's just feed Gurley, basically. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the story of their season. So Todd Gurley there. 49ers, we went with Carlos Hyde, or did we say Torrey Smith? We're kind of split on that one.
Yeah, we might have said Torrey Smith originally, but I lean Carlos Hyde now.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah, Torrey Smith hasn't caught a pass in the preseason. Not that that should veer you away from grabbing him because he's still being drafted so late, and he is the one there.
Yeah.
But then you're dealing with the ickiness of the quarterback situation, whereas Hyde, they're treating like a three-down back, essentially. I mean, he's getting the receiving work. You know, Sean Drone's kind of banged up. So Hyde could be screaming hot value.
Yeah, the narrative was that he would just get game scripted out, but if he's catching passes too, then he won't be.
Yep.
So yeah, I like Carlos Hyde.
Love him. All right, and the Seahawks, we said Tyler Lockett.
Yeah.
How are you feeling after tonight's game?
For those of you that didn't see it, Tyler Lockett was running as the third wide receiver and had the lowest snap count of the four wide receivers. It was out-snapped by Paul Richardson, who was only played in four wide receiver sets, but was still out-snapped. It was concerning. I thought that Lockett was going to pass Curse on the depth chart, become the number two, and, you know, start getting fed. And that's not what it looked like tonight. Maybe this was just some preseason mirage shenanigans, and it'll change when the regular season hits. But it worries me. It worries me that Paul Richardson's going to hurt his value because they kind of do similar things. Tyler Lockett much better, but they both run deep. And Curse just won't go away despite being the least talented. I don't know if he's less talented than Paul Richardson, but he's less talented than Doug Baldwin and Tyler Lockett. So, I don't know. I'm leaning more towards Doug Baldwin because I loved seeing how many targets he's getting. I think he's just so
sweet. He looked like the clear-cut one.
Yeah.
Basically, and he was incredibly efficient last year, and it doesn't look like that's going to change.
Yeah.
They're basically going to feed him as the one. He runs a lot of these like slants, and he seems to be in perfect sync with Russell Wilson on every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So Doug Baldwin, I think I would change my MVP pick as well on for the Seahawks specifically from Tyler Lockett to Doug Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's being drafted in the fifth round, late fifth round.
Yeah.
Doug Baldwin.
Again, a great value, I think.
Screaming hot. So now, I mean, our NFC West MVP as for the division was John Brown. You had said Tyler Lockett. I don't know if you want to change your tune now.
You know what? I'm going to completely change it and go Carlos Hyde. I'm buying in the last week that Hyde can finish as an RB1 that you're getting at the end of the third.
Okay, I like it. Yeah. I could go Hyde or Brown. I'll just stick with Brown.
Yeah,
as the NFC West MVP. Yeah. But we won't touch too much on that because we have talked about it a lot before. Let's head to the NFC North and start with the Bears.
The Bears. Yeah, I think we were saying that we liked Fat Jerry Langford.
Fat Jerry.
Fat Jerry, because, you know, Alshon.
He loves those deep dish.
Yeah, Alshon's so risky at, you know, with his health and his ADP is only reflecting his health a little bit. Kevin White is still so raw. And Langford is, you know, he's a three-down back. As long as he can stay healthy, he will be the guy, and he often slips into the fifth round. So he could finish as an RB1 just off of opportunity. I think RB2 is more likely, but, you know, it's in the fifth round, that's still great.
I mean, he might even see a further dip in his ADP. He's hurt right now. He has that foot injury, and he won't even play in the dress rehearsal game. So I think Chicago is going to run out some assortment of Carey, Jordan Howard, and what, Jaquizz?
I think Jaquizz is there, yeah.
The other guy. So, yeah, I think it has to be Jeremy Langford there. I'm almost tempted to say Alshon because I have seen him drop into the third round in some mocks.
Yeah.
And if you can get Alshon Jeffery in the third round, then, I mean, you have to take him there.
Yeah,
he has the talent to be a top five wide receiver. He's one of those physical freak athletes. I mean, it's always a health with him.
Yeah.
He's like perpetually questionable.
Especially now that Problem is gone. He will be questionable every week. And that's
16 games this year, he will be questionable.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm fine with Jeremy Langford there as the three-down back in Chicago. Let's go talk about the Jim Bob Cooters. Detroit Lions.
Cooters. Oh, yeah, that's right. We were leaning towards one, Marvin Jones. A lot of that being...
Marvin Jones.
A lot of that being ADP-based often slides into the seventh round. His ADP's rising a little bit. I've seen him start to go in the sixth round.
Yeah, he was a ninth-round pick, which is amazing.
I loved him when he was the ninth and even the eighth. And I'm still even willing in the seventh. But, you know, I think it's a 1A, 1B situation with Golden Tate, and they do completely different things. You know, Marvin's going to be the outside guy and the red zone threat, while Tate's more of a possession receiver. And, you know, maybe once we get into the red zone, Ebron's getting mixed in, watch Anquan Boldin actually catch every touchdown there.
I know.
But I got to say Marvin Jones, just based off of the value, and I think he's actually pretty safe to be at least a wide receiver, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with Marvin Jones. I would say that I would probably go with Matty Staff infection. Matty Stafford. Because he's another one of these late-round quarterback targets. And basically, as soon as Jim Bob Cooter came in last season, I just like saying his name, so I'm going to keep on saying
just
it.
Keep saying
it. But the offense, the mentality shifted. Because before it was all about, okay, Stafford's going to drop back. He's going to throw a bomb to Calvin Johnson. And his value was dependent on Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
But Jim Bob Cooter came in, and he recognized that, okay, we have a declining Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
How are we going to change up our offensive scheme? And they kind of resorted to this quick striking, like no huddle, just really fast-paced offense where Stafford isn't forced to throw the ball down the field. He's kind of making these quick out and slant passes. And I think with Golden Tate, I guess, taking over as a number one. I think it might be like a 1A, 1B with Marvin Jones.
Yeah.
But I think he'll have that possession receiver, and he'll have Marvin Jones there who kind of works both. He can be possession. He can be a deep threat with Eric Ebron emerging. I think you're going to see the same thing. I think they're going to come out there. They're going to keep the pace fast. It's going to be up-tempo offense by one Jim Bob Cooter, and it will play perfectly into Matty Stafford, who is going in the 12th round. So...
Yeah,
I think I'm going to go ahead and say Matt Stafford's my my fine. Detroit Lion MVP.
All right, that's fine then. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Let's go to the Green Bay Packers.
Ooh,
Cheeseheads.
The Cheeseheads. I think we were kind of split between we were split between Fat Eddie and Randall Cobb.
That's Herb. That's just a hateful name right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
P90X Eddie.
Yeah, there we go. That's better.
And Randall Cobb. And then jokingly, Jared Cook. Jared Cook is the best value of the three.
Is it jokingly, though? Is it?
I mean, just for the Jared Cook spiel, real quick.
Okay, let's hear it.
Real quick. You know, this is the best quarterback he's ever had by a stretch. The most athletic tight end Aaron Rodgers ever had. They've supposedly been incredibly in sync since Cook has entered camp. So, you know, and he's going basically undrafted. He's free. So it's totally just like a value dart throw. But the upside is there. There is, you know, there is a version of this where Jared Cook finishes as the top five tight end because it's just because of the quarterback situation, because he finally has a good quarterback. You know, maybe that's always what was holding him back. But
it could be.
I don't think we're going to pick Jared Cook.
No, I think we're going to go with this is tough. I guess Randall Cobb.
Randall Cobb's probably the better value. He often slips into the fifth round. I don't think the touchdown rate we saw in 2014 comes back, but I think the yards do. And I think he's a pretty safe wide receiver, too, with wide receiver one upside. I could be adding the fifth round. That's
just
great.
Fantastic. Yeah. Another one of those ideal wide receiver twos. Mm. If you can get Randall Cobb in the fifth, then you're probably pretty set.
Yeah.
Eddie Lacy's an interesting name. He's definitely a bounce back candidate, but his ADP is climbing. He's now going in the second round. Sometimes like mid second round, top half of the second round, I've seen him go. And that's where it becomes a little bit scary. Now, if you can grab Eddie Lacy in the third round, then by all means, that's a fantastic value. But if you're choosing Eddie Lacy over guys like Mark Ingram, Doug Martin, LeSean McCoy, I think that's where it gets a little bit, vomit-worthy.
I like him when he falls into that, like, Hyde, DeMarco, like, Rawls tier. That's when I like his value quite a bit. But that's, you know, that's starting to change since the Slim Lacy narrative has really taken hold and ran away. So I think
Slim Lacy.
Slim Lacy.
I think Lacy probably falls right after Ingram for me. Like right after that tier.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I would probably slide him into the end of that tier. Like Doug Martin, Mark Ingram, then Eddie Lacy.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
All right. Let's talk about the last team in this division, the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings.
This is another boring one, but Adrian Peterson. You know?
Yeah, it's got to be Adrian Peterson. The whole offense basically runs around Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
You have Teddy Bridgewater, who is, I mean, he's basically, I mean, I said this three times already, but he's another game manager quarterback. They send him out there not to make mistakes, to give the ball to Adrian Peterson. They rely on their defense and rushing attack.
Yeah.
It's like the stereotypical, okay, defense wins championships. Defense and a solid rushing attack will win you the championship. They don't rely on quarterback play. They don't rely on their wide receiving core. But they do have some sneaky talent in the wide receiving core with Stephon Diggs, Laquon Treadwell, and Charles Johnson.
Chucky Johnson, who's supposedly been reemerging. Johnson,
yeah. I guess maybe he's having an awakening.
I guess so. I like Diggs the most of that group.
For
sure. But no, Adrian Peterson is our MVP. Boring, but very safe, high upside, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I mean, he's about as consistent as a running back as you can find, and he always has been when he's on the field.
Yeah.
Okay, last division before we wrap up this pod.
Well, hold on. NFC North MVP.
Oh, I keep on skipping you. Well, that's why you're here, Leo.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason why you're here. Because I don't know what I'm doing, obviously.
Obviously. Are we saying Adrian Peterson? I don't remember who we picked.
We're saying Adrian Peterson. It's got to be Adrian Peterson. I mean, all day.
All day.
Let's go to the NFC South now. Can we go to the NFC South? Is that all right?
Yeah, no, now it's fine. Now we can go to the NFC South.
All right. And start with another team that played today, the Hotlanta Falcons.
This is one for anyone that's been following us since our inception, which is no one. This is going to seem like we're flip-flopping. But Devonta Freeman, he's looked good in the preseason. His ADP sometimes slides him into the third. He's more of like a mid-second round pick. But the biggest takeaway is I haven't seen anything that suggests Tevin Coleman's going to run away with his job. That was the early camp reports. But Freeman's look better in every account. They probably used Tevin to spell him because he just got too big of a workload last year. But Freeman just looks like the better, more efficient back. So
more explosive back, yeah. More explosive,
yeah. We've seen the upside. We've seen that he can be, you know, the top running back in fantasy. So if you look at it in that scope, a mid-second round pick actually isn't that bad for him.
Yeah, I mean, he was the top dog last season. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone is of the mind that he'll repeat that. But, no. I mean, even if he's a RB1, top half of the RB1 sector, then he's fine at his ADP. He's could even be a steal at his ADP, realistically.
Yeah.
And we hated on Devontae Freeman a lot last year. From basically the first week that he came in and tore up mm-hmm. the league, we weren't believing. But, yeah, now we got our swam trunks. And we flippy floppied. And we like Devontae Freeman now as the MVP. Other names we could mention, Julio, boring.
Yeah.
Right. He's being drafted second overall. And he's probably the most risky out of the top three wide receivers just because he's fragile. But wait, I thought wide receivers weren't fragile.
Well, this one is. He seems always be kind of nicked up. He's had serious injuries that happened to him very recently. Yeah, so he's just a little sketchy. I think he's probably, I'd still put it as my third best wide receiver, but I think I'd rather have Antonio and then Odebay.
Odebay. Yep, so Devonta Freeman there. Would you make an argument for Matty Ice?
Maybe purely from value. Yeah, it's because he's also going just like crazy late, basically free. And I like him to bounce back from last year and kind of end up another one of those low-end QB1s that he's kind of always been before that.
Yeah.
But, you know, at that point, is it really that great to say, oh, man, you can get a low-end QB1 for free? Well, yeah, those guys are on the wire mostly anyway. I think I'd rather go a little more upside with Devonta.
Devonta. All right, I'm all in. Devonta Freeman. He's our Falcons Woo. MVP.
Whoop, whoop.
And let's go to the Carolina Panthers.
The Dab and Panthers.
Although I think he's retiring the Dab, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cam Newton?
Supposedly. Watch him still do it in the first game.
That was so last season. Yeah. He can't give it up.
Can't give it up.
Cam Newton is the Dab. But yeah, the Carolina Panthers. So again, some interesting names here. Fantasy relevant players would be Cam Newton, obviously. Mm-hmm. Kelvin Benjamin, Jonathan Stewart, Greg Olsen, and I guess Funchess now.
Honey Funchess.
Enters that conversation, yeah.
Yeah, but we are we're going Jay-Stu with our fantasy MVP.
Yeah, I think he's the most consistent there, the most reliable.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is being drafted way, way too early because he's basically being drafted from his production last season. But, I mean, he was, like, historically efficient last season with as little as they actually threw the ball. You would think looking at his fantasy numbers that they were just like airing it out week in and week out, but they weren't throwing the ball very frequently. They were, I think, a bottom half in terms of pass attempts last season. And they were a run-heavy team. Jay-Stu was a benefactor of that. And he also has Cam Newton helping him out there because defenses, they don't really know what is going to happen. Cam Newton can run. Jay-Stu can run. They all can run. Them Panthers are running. So I like Jonathan Stewart, especially at his ADP. He's going in the fifth round. So fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, I'm with you. Very high floor. Ceiling's a little capped because, you know, Cam is the goal line back there.
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
But, no, yeah, I think that's the safest pick. We're looking for a Cam Newton regression, which is why it's not him. And his value just isn't there. But the value is there for old Jay-Stu.
Earl J. Stu, and when we say Cam Newton regression, we're talking about from quarterback one overall to like quarterback 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So I just don't think he'll be the clear cut, like far and away best quarterback like he was last year. Like last year, he was so far in front of the pack. It was like that Usain Bolt picture from the Olympics where he was just like out in front and he's just smiling, looking back because he knows he's got the race locked up. That was Cam Newton last year with the other quarterbacks. But this year it's going to be a lot closer. Let's head to Nolens.
Nolens.
Talk about them Saints.
I think we landed on a Drew Brees here. We were talking about Mark Ingram because he's, you know, very safe, a pretty good value towards the end of the second round. But Breeze, you know, he often slides into the fifth, sixth, sometimes seventh round. And yep. Once he gets to that spot around the seventh round, that's when he becomes really good value because he's shown that he has, you know, overall QB1 in his range of outcomes. He has potentially the best receiving group he's had in a while. Brandon Cooks is finally emerging. I'm not going to say he's going to be the QB1, but if you're going to reach for a guy earlier than the very late rounds, it has to be because they have that in their range of outcomes, and Breeze does. So,
yeah, and I mean, he's being drafted behind the big three, which in terms of quarterbacks, that would be Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, and Russell Wilson, at least as far as we've seen from mocks this year. You might slide Andrew Luck up into that conversation. But yeah, he's being drafted behind Luck too. I've seen him drafted behind Roethlisberger, so he really does have that value. We're proponents of the late round quarterback drafting strategy, but like we've always said, you let the value dictate how you draft. We never go into a draft saying, "Oh, this is how we're going to draft 100%. We're not going to veer away from this." And if Drew Brees is sitting there in the seventh round, you take Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Pretty much, take Drew Brees, and you'll like it.
So let's move on to our last team. The
most exciting team we're going to talk about, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers of Tampa Bay, Florida.
Yeah, let's take a kicker in the second round, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Robert Aguayo, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I think it's Aguayo.
Something like that.
Has the yips, is missing like 50% of his field goals, I guess.
something like that.
But yeah,
great start.
Buccaneers. I think we have to go with the bounce back candidate, Mike Evans, right?
Yeah. We talked about Doug Martin, very safe, but he's kind of game flow dependent. His splits when they're losing are a little bit alarming. So I think we're going to say Mike Evans because his touchdown rate, the reason that he sort of fell down so much last year is that his touchdown rate took a big decline. In 2014, his catch rate in the red zone inside the 20-yard line was 61%, and then inside the 10-yard line, it was 80%. He caught almost everything thrown his way and turned it into a touchdown, and that's a lot of where his value came from. And then 2015, he produced similar yardages, similar catches, even in the red zone, but the rate took a big drop to 14% inside the 20.
Huge amount, yeah.
And 28% inside the 10. And when you look at why it's that, he had a lot of drops, which is concerning, but...
Yeah, what was it, like a 50% completion ratio last year? He was hovering around that.
It wasn't great, but he wouldn't be the only elite wide receiver to ever have one of these seasons where they just kind of get the droppies. Calvin Johnson had a season like that. AJ Green's had a season like that. And then they've bounced back. So with Mike Evans, you're just saying that he can be better than that because he was in his rookie year. You know, it's not like he suddenly forgot how to catch a football. So you expect the drop rate goes, you know, it's improved. And you could say a lot of that those drops had to do with, you know, a rookie Jamias Winston throwing to him, you know. All reports are that Winston is improving in his second year as, you know, most quarterbacks do.
Yeah, hopefully you didn't watch the last preseason game.
I mean, ignore preseason. Ignore it.
Yeah, it wasn't even the dress rehearsal game. So we'll wait and see how he performs this week. But I like Mike Evans a lot, too. He has to positively regress.
Yeah, positively regress. He positively will regress.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's it. So we have to now name, I won't forget this time, I got it.
You got it.
NFC South Divisional MVP is...
Drum roll. Forget who we said. Who'd we say?
I don't think we decided, so let's just make one up on the spot.
I'm going to say...
Give me your name, and then I'll tell you my name.
Jonathan Stewart. This is my name.
You're going to say Jonathan Stewart?
I am.
I will go ahead and say Mike Evans.
I was strongly considering Mike Evans. But, you know, when Jonathan Stewart slips into the third or fourth round, I can't really ignore it with that RB1 upside. But yeah. Mike Evans is also fine, too.
Yeah, Mike Evans. Okay, well, we wrapped up all the divisions in the NFL, so now we have to come up with our overall fantasy MVP the entire season.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready? Oh, no. We need to prepare quickly. Do you want me to give you mine?
It was probably the same person, but go ahead and give me yours.
Mine is Lamar Miller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to go Lamar Miller. I think if he receives the workload that a Houston running back typically gets, he will finish as the running back one in the entire league. Mm. And he's being had at the end of the first round. Can't pass that up. Lamar Miller. He's going to be so good this year. So good.
I wonder if it has anything to do with you drafting him last night in that league or both.
No, no, it's completely unbiased.
Completely unbiased. Okay. Well, I'm going to pick out a different one.
All right, good. I like diversity.
Just to be give contrarian. It to me. Latavius Tate, Train Murray.
Okay. You know I like that.
Yeah. Off the slide to the late third, early fourth. And, you know, I think he has top five running back in his range of outcomes, mostly from volume. And if he can stay healthy, then I think it happens, that offense improving. So I'm going to say Latavius.
So we got Lamar Miller, Latavius Murray, two running backs. So we're obviously drafting robust, right?
Apparently.
We're just going robust.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we've basically reached our expiration date in this pod. We should cap it.
Let's cap it up.
So thanks for watching if you made it this far. We will keep on putting out content. Hopefully you'll keep on watching.
Hopefully you'll find us on Twitter at bench-ff. It's the same for Facebook.
Yep.
Find us on YouTube. We don't have a URL for that. But, you know, pop in bench-, you'll find us for all our fantastic contents there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is Derek No Nickname checking out.
And Leo Khaleesi signing off.
All right. Peace.